For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So let's open in prayer as we come around the Word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you. We thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of truth is in our lives and showing us truth and revealing to us right things. And Father, I ask that every person here and whoever hears this sermon will be opened up to hear and understand your word. Let revelation come in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll praise the Lord. Tonight we're looking at how God sees the nations, frankly, we understand that the nations have gone astray when they leave the Lord out of the picture. And that's very clear. We talked a bit on Sunday about the fear of the Lord and the fact that the fool hath said in his heart there is no God, and that there are people and nations who have a practical atheism, which they live lives and run their nations and so on as though God does not exist. So how God sees the nations? Well, let's first of all look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. It's a very important section here to understand the commission of the church. That is why the church is on earth and what it is to do. Matthew 28. Starting from verse 18, and we'll go to verse 20. And it says here in Matthew 28, starting from verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, the Bible says in 1 John 5 that the whole world lieth in wickedness, and that's because sin entered into the world after Adam's rebellion. Now, what we see here is when Jesus is given the commandment to the church to go and teach all nations, he's basically saying that the nations need that. And notice that the way he's looking at the nations here is he's seeing that they need to be converted or changed. In other words, they need to have Christ, that is individuals and whole nations themselves, need to have Christ, and once they're born again, they are baptized in water as a public acknowledgement that I have been saved. And if whole nations have large sections of their population changed in that manner, and you can see baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost means that there is a dedication of that nation completely to the Lord, and Christ is the foundation. Just as in individuals' lives, Christ and his word is the foundation by which men and women can go forward in God. And there is to be, verse 20 tells us, that as far as Jesus is concerned, they need to be taught. The nations that are outside of God need to be converted, okay, and baptized, and they need to be taught, which tells us that currently, if they don't have Christ, they're trying to do things their own way. And by doing that, they're leaving God out of the picture. So they have to be taught to be obedient. As it says, they're teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So right to the end of the world, there is this commission that Jesus has given, which is to teach the nations, get them baptized, and get them taught to be obedient. Let's have a look at Isaiah 45, and we'll read a few verses in Isaiah 45, because we have to understand that that the Lord has created everything that we see, and indeed he has put the nations on the earth as well. So Isaiah 45, we'll look at verse 12 first of all, and notice what he says here: I have made the earth and created man upon it. Now that's interesting, isn't it? God made the earth and he made it, the Bible says he formed it to be inhabited, and isn't that exactly what we see? The earth has been formed to be inhabited. I notice that all of us are breathing air, so he's formed it so that we can breathe. He's formed it so that it's the right distance from the sun and so on. And he has created man upon it. Now, man is unique in all of his creation because man has been created in the image of God, according to Genesis 1. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. So everything you see, both physically, all the stars and so on, and spiritually, it's all the host of the angels and so on, has God commanded. Now when you understand that, then you understand that the origin of everything has come from the Lord. So how futile and foolish it is to leave God out of the picture. And of course we saw in that great commission that Jesus gave that man has to be brought to Christ, whole nations have to be brought to Christ. My view of evangelism now is not just getting one or two people saved, but getting on board with what God wants to do, which is getting whole nations changed to become, and we'll read it soon, sheep nations. Sheep nations. And a sheep nation would be one in which you've got the vast majority of people in that nation converted to Christ, and the whole structure of the nation is changed so that it reflects what God wants it to do. God wants nations to do various things for him. There are things that Australia could do that, say, another nation couldn't do or might not be able to do. And so we need to understand that as well. Look at Isaiah 45, verse 18. It says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else." So we see the Bible says that the earth was formed to be inhabited. And as I said before, isn't that exactly what we observe? Okay, if you go out to Mars, it's too cold, very thin atmosphere. You'll die fairly quickly if you had no apparatus to keep you alive. Go to Venus, extremely hot, runaway greenhouse effect there. You would die quicker than if you were on Mars. And that's the same with all the other planets. The only planet in our solar system that has been formed to be inhabited, and the Bible says he put man on it, is Earth. So much so that even the secular astronomers call Earth the Goldilocks planet. Just right. Just right. So they acknowledge that much. Also have a look at verse 22, and let me encourage you to read the whole of chapter 45 of Isaiah. Verse 22, this is what God is saying. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." So what's the primary message that has to go right across the earth? "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ was sent to die for mankind. Okay, why? Because man is dead or separated from God in trespasses and sins. And mankind has to acknowledge that they need a saviour. They need a saviour. In fact, go back to verse 21. It says, "Tell ye and bring them near, Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour. Notice capital S for Saviour. There is none beside me. So he, God, and Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He's the Saviour for mankind. Now, men and women have a choice to either receive Jesus and they become children of God, or to reject him. God won't force people to be saved. But the primary thing that the church must do is to preach or teach all nations, baptizing them as we saw, and teaching them to observe, so that means getting them to be obedient to Christ. And we see the primary message in verse 22, look unto me, look unto God, the only one that can save, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There is none else. And this is very, very important for us to see. Have a look at Psalm 8, and we'll look at verses 19 and 20 of Psalm 8. Now here we see that God is giving a direction to man to see themselves in the right way. Okay? There's a lot of people on the earth, and indeed that translates to whole nations. If you've got a whole nation which is predominantly made of people who aren't Christian, well, it's quite clear that that nation's not going to be building on Christian things and instituting Christian laws and all that type of thing. They're actually going to go against that and try to strip away from the foundations and from their law and from the way they approach things, Christian things. They're going to take it out. They're going to go against the Bible. But that's because they're not looking at themselves in the right way. Have a look at Psalm 8 verses 19. Psalm 8 verses 9. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. And then go to Psalm 9, verses 19 and 20. This is the one I really wanted to look at. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Isn't that interesting? God wants men and women to have the fear of the Lord in their life, and we know that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil and to honour him above all else. And God says that he wants the nations to know themselves to be but men. Why? Because they've got to acknowledge God is the creator, God has put man on the earth. Everything that man has come from God. And they've got to acknowledge, well, we're but men and we should be looking to you, Lord. We should be looking to you. So you can see that God is saying to the nations, you've got to see me in the right way. You've got to see me in the right way. And those that are without Christ, the nations that are without Christ, are doing their own thing and they're going into the curse more and more. And of course, doing their own thing means darkness comes into people's thinking. Lies, right at the very top. Deception, you see, any discerning Christian would be able to see that, there's lies very prominent and deception very prominent amongst the nations, particularly amongst the leaders and those without God. So men and women must see, nations must see that they're about men and they shouldn't be living lives without God. Okay, because that's an atheistic way of living. So look at Matthew 24 verse 14. Matthew 24 verse 14. We've talked about the Great Commission, the Great Commission. Jesus said to go and teach all nations. All nations need to be taught, don't they? They need to be taught that they're but men. They need to be taught that man has been, God has created man upon the earth and has prepared the earth for man and has made the nations, and he's got a message for the nations to come to Christ. They need to be taught that. And how has that come about? Well, Matthew 24 tells us, verse 14 in Matthew 24, and notice what it says here in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto what? All nations. And then shall the end come. Now, let's have a look at what this verse is saying. There is a gospel of the kingdom. That is the good news that Christ came and died for mankind. Mankind must acknowledge that they are sinning and are sinners, that is, servants of sin, and need to be saved from sin. Okay? They're in a dark place without the Lord. And the gospel tells us that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. Notice how it's to be done. And this is why the greatest work that the church must do is in the area of preaching, and preaching the Word of God. The Word of God. This coming Sunday I'll be talking about the importance of preaching the Word of God. Why? Well, we can see here that if the gospel is preached, it says, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And we're going to see in a minute that if the nations reject the gospel, or if the nations sideline the word of God and sideline the gospel, the way God sees them is answerable to him. Answerable to him. Okay, we'll see that in Matthew 25 soon. We'll look at that in a minute. He sees them as answerable to him. Because the gospel, and I don't believe the gospel has been preached in all the world at the moment. The church has to get its act together. I'm talking about church globally, has to get its act together and be cleansed. And we're going to see a mighty end time revival where this very thing will happen, where the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Notice? And then shall the end come. Now Jesus told us that there was an end of the world in Matthew 28. Lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world, he said. So the world will not go on forever. The end will come sooner or later. And what will happen after that? Well, we're going to have a look in just a minute what's going to happen. But Jesus talked about the world to come. Okay? So this present world that we're in at the moment is dead in trespasses and sins and has Satan as its ruler. And that's why God says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says that in Romans 12 verse 2. But we won't turn to that. Let's have a look now. Go across to Matthew 25. And you'll see that as far as God is concerned, if this gospel has gone out and preached and is not being preached by those in the pub, it's being preached by the righteous, okay? It's being preached by the church. And notice what he says. Okay, this gospel has gone out, and then shall the end come, right? It'll be a witness unto all nations. And what's it saying? What's the gospel saying? The good news, the Saviour. The Saviour came. He died for us. His blood was shed. You need to respond to him. If you don't, there's hell. If you do, there's eternal life. Okay. So, what does Christ see as the nations? He sees them as responsible. They are responsible. And notice what he says, starting from verse, and we'll look at Matthew 25, and we're looking, starting from verse 31 of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man, and that's one of the titles of Jesus, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered what?
All nations.
They're answerable to him, people. They're answerable to him. Don't let anyone tell you that they're not. Already we've seen that there is predicted that there is going to be an end to the world, this present evil world. We see here, and there's many scriptures that talk about Jesus coming again, we see here that Jesus shall come in his glory. And what's he going to do? Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. What's he separating?
The nations.
He's separating the nations. Sheep nations over here, goat nations over here. Okay? Sheep nations, and we're talking about sheep in the right way here. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So sheep nations hear the voice of God and will have in their structure from the foundation up, will have obedience to the will of God and to the word of God. That's what a sheep nation will be. A goat nation will predominantly be a nation that has rejected the gospel and has decided to go along its own way or a false religion and so on. So, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand but the goats on the left. All right? So there's a very clear that this is a historical thing that's going to happen. It's going to happen. As sure as the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is what is going to be called, and what we see here, a judgment of the nations. And there is a characteristic. Let's continue to read. What is the characteristic of the goat nations? Then shall the king, notice it's capital K, talking about Jesus. He's the king of the earth. Okay, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, well, that's the goats. That's the sheep. Say unto them on his right hand, come ye, what's he call them? Blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, what did we read before had to be preached? The gospel of the kingdom, wasn't it? What are they going to do? The sheep. They're going to inherit the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungry, that means he was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Okay, this is not just for individuals. This is whole nations. How did they approach? How did the whole nation approach the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, those in prison? Okay, how did that whole nation approach it? Now, individually, we should be approaching this in the right way as well. Obviously, nations are made up of individuals. Okay, and what else are the blessed called? What does it say in verse 37? Then shall the righteous, these are those who are born again, that are people who have been made right with God, that's what righteous means. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my, what does he call it? Brethren, ye have done it unto me. So those who come into Christ become children of God, and they're one of Christ's brethren. So you can see that that entire sheep nation will have, right through its structure, right through from the foundation up, will have the commandments of Christ instituted into it. All right? Now, currently on the earth, you would be hard-pressed to find a sheep nation, which tells us that something major has to happen in the future to change whole nations into sheep nations. So look forward to that, because it is going to happen. Christ is telling us it's going to happen. Now, what about those on the other side, on the left hand of Christ in this judgment? So he's called those in the sheep nations, he's called them blessed. He's called them righteous. All right. What does he call those on the other side? Those who have ignored the gospel of the kingdom. Those who have said, well, we don't want Christianity in our midst. We want to strip it out of our society. What does he say to those type of people? Well, verse 41 onwards. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, so that's the goat nations, right? Depart from me, ye, what? Cursed. As far as God's concerned, there's blessed or cursed. In Christ or not in Christ. Okay? Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. This is a very serious matter. Very serious matter. The way the nations respond to the gospel is very important. Now, the fact is that the church has to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And sadly, across the earth, there's lots of fracturing of all types of doctrines, fracturing amongst the churches, and many churches aren't preaching the gospel of the kingdom, they're preaching all types of other things. So our focus must be on the gospel of the kingdom, and specifically on getting to the nations that gospel. Praise the Lord. And we see that the way a nation treats the body of Christ, the church, Jesus takes it personally, because he says here, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. He takes it personally. So if a nation sees the church as non-essential, or as full of fiction, or as full of error, or they want to just take it out of the public space, it's not a good thing. Jesus takes that personally. How does God see the nations? He sees the nations as answerable. Answerable. God has created man on the earth. And we're going to see a scripture which tells us that God has also made the nations. Have a look at Psalm 86, verses 8 to 10. Psalm 86. So I pray that you're seeing a broader view tonight of the way God is viewing things and the way we should view things. Many Christians take a very narrow look. They're very far too much focused on their own lives when they should be saying, Lord, what do you want me to do whilst I'm on the earth? Life is but a vapor, according to James. Very, very quick. And if you are going to have eternal things taken into past your life, past this present life you have, then you need to be doing what God wants you to do on the earth. You can't be just doing your own thing. Psalm 86, look at verses 8 to 10 of Psalm 86, verses 8 to 10. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast, what? Made, shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. You know, God has put the nations on the earth. All right. We won't go into what happened at the Tower of Babel historically in the book of Genesis. But God has separated the nations as we see them at the moment. But that doesn't mean that the nations are not answerable to him. They are. They are. In fact, he wants them, as it says here, he wants them to come and worship before him. Talking to nations here, not just individuals. Of course, it applies to individuals too, because all of us at one stage have to acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner, Lord, before you, and become changed or born again, repent of your sin, receive Christ as Saviour. And then you become not a sinner anymore, you become a righteous person before God. Okay, we saw that there was a difference between the cursed and the blessed, difference between the righteous and those who are damned. So this is important. Look also at Isaiah 40. We read before that, and it's something to really keep in your heart, that God says that he wants the nations to see themselves as but men. In other words, acknowledge him for who he is, the Creator, the King, the Lord. And in Isaiah 40, we'll look from verse 13, we'll go to verse 23. Isaiah 40, start from verse 13. And notice what it says here. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counsellor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed it to him, showed to him the way of understanding? Of course, the answer to that is God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and no one has taught him. So knowledge comes from him. Can you see what I'm saying? And notice what he says in verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. With one snap of his finger, every nation on earth would be destroyed. It's not a problem to him. But you know, God is merciful. He wants the gospel to go out because he wants the maximum number to be saved on the earth. Okay? That's why that gospel of the kingdom has to be preached. How important is preaching? How important is teaching? It's at the top of the list of the things that should be done on the earth. Let's continue on. So he says in verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. It's a very small amount, isn't it? This is how God sees them. Okay, very small. In other words, they're in comparison to him, there is as nothing. And as the small dust of the balance. Well, a small speck of dust on a balance will hardly make any difference to a balance. You see what I mean? As the small dust of the balance, behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. Notice what it says in verse 17. This is why the nations have to acknowledge that they're but men in comparison to God. Okay? And they need to come to him and bow the knee before him. Verse 15, behold, the nation... Verse 17, all nations before him are as what? Nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Do you see what this is saying? The only reason that man is on earth now and able to breathe, even able to have a nation, is because God allows it. Okay? And there is an end of the world. We've read that. The end is coming. But God wants to get that gospel of the kingdom out to the nations, and they're answerable to him. Goats or sheep? You're going to respond or not respond? What's it going to be? Praise the Lord. Let's continue. So, verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing. And vanity. So if a nation is in sin, it's as vanity that produced nothing for him. Okay. Verse 18, to whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he, that's God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. You know, from space, you can look down on the earth and it looks circular, no matter what direction, because the whole of the earth is a globe. Okay? Sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as, what? Grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. So you can see that in comparison to God, the nations are very small. But because man's been made in the image of God and God has given man a free will, he is very merciful. Okay, and so there is a time when sin is allowed, but one day, that's the end of the world. The gospel of the kingdom has to be preached as a witness to all nations. That's very important. Very important. I'll just go through one last scripture. If you go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll start from verse 19. We'll go to the end of the chapter. 1 John 5, verse 19. Now, when you come into the kingdom of God, you're in the world but not of the world anymore. Okay? You've come into the kingdom of God. And that means you do what the king says. He is your master. That's why Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Okay. Not that we are saved by good works. No, Jesus did the work of salvation. And the Bible says that we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works to do what he wants on the earth today. Now notice what it says in 1 John 5, start from verse 19. And we know, it's talking about Christians, we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And just stop there for a minute. If the whole world lieth in wickedness, you can see the reason why the gospel has to come. So that people come out of wickedness, come out of darkness, come out of destruction, come out of the curse. Verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Idols are not just figures like stone statues and things that have been made by men and women. The Bible talks about idols of the heart. So anything that's put above God, anything that's put above God is an idol. God must be first in all things. In fact, Paul the Apostle said that Christ is his life. Christ should be our life. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So this is very important for us to understand, that the nations must see the right perspective of things. How? Are they going to get their teaching of this and their understanding of this down at the pub? No. No. The church has a very important duty, or as we say, commission on the earth. And we read it in Matthew 28. To teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So clearly that means getting them converted, getting them changed, so that then they publicly acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they're obedient to him, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So Christ's commandments are there. We need to see that the nations, the way God views them is that he is merciful in allowing them to currently exist. He is merciful in sending Christ. He is merciful in getting that gospel out to be preached so that men and women can come and enter into his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful salvation that has come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you use us to reach the nation of Australia, that this whole nation would be changed to acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, that we be people of faith, and we see that by faith. In Jesus' name, help us and show us and open doors, Lord, that your word may be preached and taught. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.